It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 KWLM.
And we welcome back into our studios this morning on this second Monday already. Where is this time going?
Time flies.
Time does. Joel Gratz with Christensen PLLP joining us in studio today, the second Monday of the month. Joel, and good to see you again. And we are definitely immersed in winter, it seems like.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to look outside and to see all the snow, and I see all the cars now on the lake here, which may be a little iffy at times. We hear a four-wheeler went in up on Nest Lake, I think, this weekend, so you just never know. But, Happy New Year, Bill.
Yeah, thank you. Good to be here. Yeah, where that four-wheeler went in, I think there's some currents there right underneath the old railroad bridge. And
the water's high.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to run all winter in the tile, the field tile, and all that. So, yeah, you got to be careful out there and kind of know what you're doing.
Yeah, use your better judgment, hopefully.
Your best judgment. Probably not your better, your best. Yeah.
But, and then I don't know if you heard about it on Green Lake. Steve Peterson posted yesterday. He's on the west shore, just a little north of the downtown, on the west side there. And there was a huge ice heave that woke everybody up. It was like a sonic boom at about 1:30, I think, in the morning, yesterday morning, and cracked a number of windows.
Is that true?
Yes, I heard. It's true.
Okay, I thought maybe...
And I don't know about other houses, but in his, at least, the side facing the lake, the windows
actually cracked. Man, that's a big boom. I had never heard of that before. Have you?
Yeah, I've seen the heaves out there, because it can get pretty high. But I've never heard anything quite like that. I mean, I guess, to be honest, but...
it's always nature. Mother Nature does cool things and unique things at times, for sure.
Well, are you excited at the agency now with we're definitely... we got RW2s, I guess it is, last week, and I haven't opened mine up yet, but I normally kind of procrastinate, but I've been better the last couple of years. I have a simple form. Mm-hmm. Maybe could make it more difficult, but I just, pay in all year and then try not to pay in at the end anymore.
Well, good for you. A lot of folks like that big refund, you know, so they really push the withholding hard. But I'm proud of you, Bill. That's great to kind of be ahead of the game. And as far as how we're doing at the firm right now, the kitchen's pretty hot now. We're not, we're not burning things, but it's we're starting to simmer. And just sent out an email to the team on the weekend and said, it's a marathon, not a sprint, so we all got to catch our breath here and just think it's a long-term deal. This is our harvest time. This is when we got to make grain and make hay, and, I said the sun is shining, so it's time to get out there and hit her hard, and I think our team is prepared and ready, and, the shoe's going to kind of drop this week, I think, and we're going to be hitting on all cylinders for sure.
Now, you have the office in Painesville that's now open, that should help out people that are up in that general area now. They don't have to drive to Wilmer, and they can get all the great services that you guys provide right there.
So. Yeah. Thanks, Bill, for noticing that. Yeah, we, the partners, made a decision based upon some of the talents we have in the office. We have some Painesville locals, and we are blessed with some talents and wanted to maybe reach out some, and we did some market research on the Painesville area, and we felt there was a need, and a lot of the Painesville people prefer to maybe go to St. Cloud or stay home and service their own, local businesses. And we thought, what better to have an office there and kind of put the toe in the water and see how it goes. And Chelsea Mueller is a CPA that Chelsea Hansen was her maiden name, who's been with us for 3 years and took a leap of faith up there and is doing well.
And, you work with a lot of businesses, and a lot of farmers, I'm sure, which are, independent business people, obviously, and they've got corporations and various other entities, I guess, that whatever is all, available out there right now. So that those can get to be a little more complicated than your standard, guy that's, being paid a wage like I am and really don't have a lot of options for deductions. So
yeah, and that doesn't mean your return is, something unusual or bad. It's just, you're right, when you're a business owner, you have a lot more decisions and elections and thoughts and how it affects me individually versus the business. And there's a lot of things that go into the planning. And, as a farm, guy myself, and just looking at the industry right now, they've got new challenges, obviously, with input costs and low commodity prices on the sell side. It's a unique time, and our planning that we usually do in December was probably one of the most unique years we've had, where a lot of guys actually needed some income if they really wanted to have an average, you know, decent, you know, instead of this big fluctuation up and down. So that was creative. And everybody talked about the Trump, you know, era and the Republican Congress and the Republican Senate. And what does that mean? Right. I'll be honest, that was a resounding, I would say everybody said, what should we do? Mm-hmm. Knowing that we're going to have this new president and the new Congress and new Senate. And I always try to plan on what I know. And at that moment, I really didn't know a lot. You know, you can look at it, President Trump, elect Trump's platform and kind of take a guess at it. So today, that was, I think, a neat topic to talk about, that there are a few more things that maybe have had some clarity, but we still don't know what 2017 is going to bring. But what I can probably guarantee is there'll be some, I'd say, major tax reform of some sort since 1986, believe it or not. That was the last time we had major tax reform versus all the Band-Aids and the ads and the minor tweaks here and there. So I see 2017 being a year of kind of keeping your watchful eye on the media and watching what Congress is doing.
Mm-hmm. What about, like, rolling back some of the regulations? Because that's another aspect of it, too, you know, that some of these things have been costly for producers, you know, to implement and just to, you know, to adhere to. And many think they're unnecessary and maybe, you know, overreaching. I was watching Orion Samuelson's program last night, and this California farmer that they had planted wheat many times in this, you know, quote-unquote wetland, and now they've run up about $1 million in legal fees because they've been sued by the Army Corps of Engineers, and you know, and now that's the type of thing, you know, you want to be compliant. And we've had a lot of talk about these buffer strips, you know, in Minnesota. And is there going to be money then? It sounds like that's up to our state legislature to provide some money for the counties then, to both enforce and to get these, make sure that they're established, I understand. So
right. And a lot of the short-term fixes, if it's the ACA and healthcare reform, you hear everybody talk, well, we're going to get rid of it. That's our first item on the agenda. Well, you just can't get rid of something that was that large of a movement, that large of a paradigm change. You just cannot do that, in my opinion, without ramifications the other direction, just to eliminate it, if you will, and repeal it completely. So I think the new president will have a lot of work to do on not just the ACA, but so many things you mentioned. The government probably was too far-reaching, in my opinion, again, not trying to get on the political side, but pretty far-reaching. It did cost a lot of money to do some of these things and even to get this legislation to where we're at today. So it'll be a lot of money maybe wasted if we just completely eliminate it. So I think we got to, you know, you kind of got to sift through the sand a little bit and try to find the good and the bad and make it, you know, right. In the nearby, at the state side, I think there's some fixes they can do with, you know, either tax credits, tax rebates, the property tax potentially on the farm guys. I think that's something that will probably happen. And with the surplus we have there, I don't know why they wouldn't do it. Long term, will they be able to change the tax law in Minnesota to reduce that higher tax bracket? I hope so. You know, we're in the top five in the union as far as taxes go. If you look at real estate, sales, income tax, the whole works, and the one that's most obvious is the income tax at 9.8% on the individual side. I mean, that's a big number, and we gotta try to maybe rein that in. Now, on the federal side, we're in a deficit situation there. You know, I don't know how much they can do in the nearby. In a lot of the things that I think the Republicans are talking about doing are going to take cuts in spending, because one has to go with the other. And I don't know how fast they can do this stuff. But I know that President-elect Trump is really focused on business and saving taxes for businesses. And I wanted to clarify today that the biggest thing that President Trump is pushing is reducing the corporate tax rate from a 35%, you know, hopefully down to, in his mind, 15%. It might end at 20%. We don't know. clarification for the listeners is if I am a partnership, a small business, an S-corp, or even a sole proprietor, that particular push in tax code will have nothing to do with those folks. And we're talking about that 1% or 2% of businesses in the United States that are established as corporations. That's the tax-paying entity itself. And that's what, you know, President-elect Trump is mostly familiar with, obviously. I mean, that's what a lot of his investments are in and whatnot. The Republican thought is, if businesses are doing good, so will individuals and the growth and, up, and all that. And we can debate whether or not that's a good economic policy or not. But that's really where, you know, I see that probably happening on the corporate side. But again, I want to clarify that that may or may not trickle down to what I'd say the folks, Bill, in our listing area and my clients, the S-corps, the partnerships, you know, the sole proprietors, the Schedule F farmers. That in itself will not directly impact them. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to look more for individual tax reform if those guys and gals are going to, you know, benefit. So I want to make sure everybody clarified when you hear that President-elect Trump is all pro-business. He certainly is, but I don't think he's gotten to that next level of what it maybe could do for the small business, the middle class type of perspective. So that's kind of where, you know, where I see the clarification for everybody right now. It may make that corporation a new entity choice that never has been because of the double taxation where you're a C-corp that pays tax itself. And then as an investor, I get dividends out and I pay tax again. And at the rates we're at, it literally makes no sense if you're a small business owner to be a corporation, generally speaking. Of course, there's always a unique situation, Bill, and I'm not trying to say the corporation's a bad thing. But for many people here in the area, what I call small business, we try to strive for one single level of taxation. And by far, the S-Corp, the partnership, does that. So, I mean, it's will this potentially change and make everybody rethink the entity choice in 2017 and beyond? It might. It might. So that's one thing to kind of keep our eyes open for that. And it might make sense to switch to that C-Corp, depending upon tax on how long it lasts.
Mm-hmm. Is this something you can do retrospectively then? No, you have to declare before the year what you are, what form of...
Right, which makes it really hard today, right, yeah. Bill? We're in limbo, and if I knew I had a crystal ball what the Congress is going to pass and the President's going to sign, we can start making changes now, but we really can't until we find out exactly how this is going to roll. Will tax law change effective back to January 1? Yes. But back to this corporation, S-Corp, you can't change that and make that retro. It's going to have to be at that moment when I make that change is when you get to kind of go forward and capture that opportunity.
It would seem almost that these property tax issues would be almost more critical to a lot of our small businesses, not only the farmers on the ag land, but really some of the ways some of the other business property is being taxed, too. It seems like there's always this kind of tug of war going on between, you know, residential dwellings and lake shore property and farm property and, you know, business, what's considered industrial or retail business. I mean, there's different rates, it seems like, and kind of, you know, it kind of swings in the wind a little bit as to who pays what and what share.
Yeah, no, and you know, tax reform is top to bottom. I mean, like you said, the real estate taxes is something we need to look at for every person, like you said, individual, the cabin, you know, the lake real estate, all that. I mean, it's in the state where we got the surplus we have, I think we need to rebalance and, look at state, you know, funding, where's the money going? If we're going to have a surplus, I mean, it is a time to spend money. I'm not sure, but a lot of areas to focus on. There's no question. Again, my reference back to, you know, President Trump, elect Trump was on a federal basis. You know, the state corporate tax rate is probably not going to change. All the talk they've had is for individuals here in Minnesota. At this point, it could change, but on the federal landscape, it's going to be the corporate tax, which again is an entity by itself. I can see Trump and the Republicans going there real quick, but I hope they don't forget the individuals on the small business side as well. And they are proposing some dramatic changes on the individual side, which may or may not impact that small business owner. Right now, we've got 7 tax brackets right now up to a 39.6, all right, very heavy. And the Republicans and Trump are suggesting a 3-bracket system, which as in any case, during the transition, there could be winners and losers on this deal. They're dropping the cap rate down to 33%. So if you look at who's going to pay the tax, I think the middle class is not going to see that real large impact of tax savings. That top 1% in our nation is going to see it again. And I can tell on your face, Bill, I know the readers can't, or the listeners can't see it. I'm thinking the same thing that, you know, we got to start thinking about the middle class here a little sooner. And just the way the brackets fall, some middle class folks could pay more under the system versus other. So no system's perfect in the transition. Do I like the three bracket system better? I do. Because it might make it easier to manage your tax brackets versus all this gradual increase. Now, before, it jumped from a 15% bracket to a 25%. That's a 10% jump. That's big in a seven bracket system. I've never liked that. That's right in the middle, and that's where all my folks, my clients, end up being. Mm-hmm. That's a real negative. Now, you know, the brackets they're talking about is a 12% bracket, you know, up to the $75,000, which right now would be 15%, so there's a slight increase or a slight decrease there. Uh-huh. And then we go from $75,000, again, married and filing jointly, to about $225,000 will be at 25, which, you know, my clients, we try to save some of that top bracket, so those guys are going to pay more tax now because that bracket just got bigger at 25, and then we jump to 33 at 225, and it goes on forever from there. So the guys over $225,000 are going to get the biggest savings out of this deal. Will they generate the economy and spur the economy more than the folks in the middle? I disagree with that because I think there's more of us in the middle than there are on the top.
Yeah. Will it be kind of revenue neutral then, would you say, if this were to be enacted, or would there be actually less money coming in then ultimately?
I think there'd be a lot less money coming in. And that's where we have to reduce our spending at the same time. Otherwise, we'll be crashing and burning at the federal level with our deficit and the loans we've got outstanding. It's troublesome, and no one's talked about that yet because they want to get to the taxes first. Well, right. Man, if you're going to change the taxes that dramatically, it's gonna hurt. Now, on the other side, our deductions you talked about before, Bill, you can either be a standard deduction person, which right now, if married, filing joints, about $13,000, or you can itemize where you've got charitable contributions, mortgage interest, real estate taxes, income taxes.
Health insurance
beyond there, medical expenses, right, and there's floors and it gets complicated. Yeah. The Republicans want to simplify that and actually probably increase or double the standard deduction to about $30,000. Mm-hmm. Now, for a lot of folks, that's probably great who are right in that bubble, you know, of itemize, I don't. But now the charitable organizations are going to say, well, what's the incentive now, potentially, other than being philanthropic and doing, quote, the right thing. A lot of times tax ends up being that gravy or that frosting on the cake for some of these folks who want to have a tax deduction or have a big event that happens. And the foundations out there are wondering, how is this going to put us in the churches and the schools and all these things that are relying upon maybe some bigger ticket middle class people to spend some money on their philanthropic interests? What will that do? And that, you know, that concerns me a little bit, but it simplifies things, which is nice. But for a lot of folks who don't itemize, this is going to be a fantastic deal. So back to the revenue generation, it's going to be less. There's no question how you do this, which hopefully will spur the growth of the economy, which we need to do without a doubt. If you look at Economics 101, this is what you got to do if you think your economy is sputtering. And we're growing. We're not growing as fast as others, you know, so I think some of this is good. I just wonder how it's probably too deep and too fast, in my opinion. But, you know, that's something that's really big out there is, you know, the itemized deductions versus the standard deduction. They want to eliminate AMT tax, that alternative minimum tax. Mm-hmm. I like that. That doesn't help anybody, and it bites at middle class real easily. So I'm all for that if we can eliminate that. Another thing that's really potentially exciting is the estate and gift tax.
I was going to ask you that because that's a big one too.
That's a big one. And again, this is federal level, not state. And I have heard nothing about repealing it on the state side. On the federal side, they want to eliminate it completely. Now, the give and take on that is they're going to take away the step up. Now, if you die with assets, let's say land, and I paid $1,000 and now it's worth five, my kids, if I die holding that asset, my kids would get a step up to $5,000. So if they decided to sell it, there's no tax generated. So if there's no estate tax and there's no step up, now there's going to be a lot of capital gain tax out there or other income that's going to have to be taxed. So it's only a shift. So everybody's like, yay, the estate tax is being repealed and the gift tax, that's a great thing. But now the whole strategy changes on, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And does transferring ownership now versus later make more sense versus holding it? Because before it was a great tax plan. You know, mom and dad, you hold on to that asset. It's got a lot of appreciation in it. There's no reason to gift it now. More than likely, the kids are going to sell it anyway. Why don't you just hang on to it till you pass away? That could go away under this repeal of the estate tax. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, and only about 1% of the estates in the United States ever pays estate tax. So I think that's actually a bigger negative, mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, to repeal estate tax and then take away my step-up at the end. So in rural Minnesota, very few of my estates are taxable at the federal level. I like to step up. So I'd vote for, hey, let's keep the estate tax, but let's keep gradually, you know, making it a larger exemption amount. Makes sense. But to repeal the step up really concerns me. That right. would freak out a lot of my clients, I'll be honest.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point to make. So there's a lot of reasons people should contact their CPA and not just, you know.
Well, we got to wait till I know more, you know, yeah. Right now I'm kind of teasing everybody.
You know,
yeah.
Even just to kind of just sit down and you know, because there probably are some other idiosyncrasies that, you know, aren't that well known out there.
Yeah, and there's so many things to think about in tax planning. And, you know, a lot of people joke with me, well, this, you know, if Trump gets elected, you're not going to have as much work. And I disagree. Anytime there's a change, we have tremendous amounts of work. We have tremendous amounts of planning opportunities because anytime there's a change, that creates concern, right? Am I right? Am I good? Am I, what's going on? So we're, I wouldn't say excited only for the opportunity to, you know, to plan with our clients, but I think there's some reform that needs to happen. And if I can help people get on the right side of that, I'm going to do that. And my firm and I are very good at doing that. So, yeah, you'd be remiss if you didn't, one, keep your ear to the ground to listen to all this stuff. And when you feel that you're being impacted, you should definitely contact your CPA, your consultant, to see what we got to do, because it might mean timing. Back to what you said earlier, if there is reform back to 1-1, are there things I can go retro on, or should I better hurry up and get it done now so I can, you know, reap the benefits if there is a tax law change coming? I wish I knew when that was going to happen. I wish I knew what it was. I don't anticipate it happening until this summer at the earliest, Bill, I'll be honest, even with the Republicans controlling all assets, you know, and all functions. But one thing is, I don't know what our time is at
yeah,
here. Are
we're about
the clock?
Done.
Are
yeah.
you about done?
Yeah.
Looking at 2017, if tax rates are going to go down, if you have IRAs out there that were tax deferred, you might want to convert Roths. Mm-hmm. That's one, you know, to a Roth. So now you pay tax when you convert it, but then it's going to grow tax free. So there, that is a window I think that we'll see a lot of activity in. Back to the planning, if I don't have a business but I got my retirement plans to worry mm-hmm. about, that's one thing to take away today, is that keep your ears peeled on that one. That I think that might be a big spur of conversions in 2017.
Well, that's a good thought to leave us with, because that's yeah. been a question I've had myself too.
Okay.
So as you get older and closer to her, you know, maybe possibly retiring, you know, you
maybe,
you know,
yeah.
well,
yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a situation,
yeah.
not totally, because
yeah.
Even if a person, you know, quit working full time, I think you'd still want to have something to get up for in the morning. So,
yeah. And frankly, Bill, if you're talking about yourself, which I'm not saying you were, you're a legend. So, I mean, it's hard for legends to retire, right?
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, yeah. You're the man, Bill.
How do people reach Christensen, Joel?
The best way is to give us a call at the office, 235-5937, and we'll hook you up where we need to, whether it's in Litchfield office or in the Painesville office now. I don't have all those numbers memorized in my head, but those we're corporate here in Wilmer as far as our headquarters, and we'll get you to where we have to go.
And a business or, you know, other producer that hasn't used you in the past but maybe just wants to maybe, you know, find out a little bit more, you welcome, obviously, new people to it. Anytime, want to come in for
anytime. We've got capacity built in. We'd love to meet with some new folks. And again, we our firm, our size, we've got a lot of resources and a lot of things now with the change. Could you imagine, Bill, trying to be one person remembering all this stuff?
It'd be a little bit overwhelming.
It'd be way overwhelming. And it's just, that's why I'm a great believer in the firm concept and all my professional experts I have working with me. It's just the absolute best thing to do in a complicated world we live in. And I don't see it getting less complicated, put it that way.
Well, you brought up some great points, Joel, and we'll get this hopefully put on our on-demand, so if people want to review some of the things you said, you know, they can do that in the not-too-distant future, too. We appreciate you coming in, and we'll see you again next month, I understand, right?
Yeah, that's right. That'd be great, Bill.
Think we'll know a little more by then, hopefully, on some of these things? Or
I don't. I wish I did. But I tell you what, if something changes, we'll talk about it.
All right.
Don't worry about that. We'll get it in there.
Well, thanks a lot, Joel. Have a good day now.
Yeah, you too.
All right, Joel Gratz with Christensen PLLP, our guest the second Monday of each month on Ask the Expert. Right now we're sitting at 5 degrees, might be a snow flurry or two, maybe even a dusting up to an inch or so possible today.
Whether you're looking